We are the body of Christ. Tell me, how can we have true, tangible, living, dynamic harmony and unity if we are not thinking as one man?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, we've made it to another Friday, and we are thankful to have you tuning in. Today, Pastor Bill continues his series in Philippians with the conclusion to the message, The Mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ is our example. Now listen. He didn't think it robbery. Okay, here I'm God, I'm coming down here. You know what? He didn't think of himself. He thought of you. He thought of me. One scholar writes this about this verse. He says, this mind, the mind of Christ in you, means the same attitude as Christ had when he left heaven's glory to become man, the God-man. Question, think about that. Would you leave heaven to come here? Oh, if I'm up there, you're not getting me back down here. Do you understand? I don't want to come back here. Ever. No, except at the second coming, of course. You know. No, listen. From heaven to earth, look at verse 7. It says, and look what he made himself. And those words are important. He made himself. He did it of his own volition, willingly. He made himself of no reputation. The word made there is kino. This is what we call the great kenosis passage. The word kino means he emptied himself, totally emptied himself, and so forth. So that means that Jesus himself, when he came here, he made himself nothing. He temporarily gave up being with God the Father in heaven to make himself nothing of his own volition. If that doesn't blow you away, I don't know what he would. That emptying, that self-emptying. What did Jesus empty himself of? It could not be his deity, as many teach. Because if he emptied himself of his deity, he could not be God. Does that make sense? No more than we can empty ourselves of our humanity. It's impossibility. It cannot be done. So he emptied himself, but he did not empty his deity. He still healed people and stopped the storm. You know what I'm saying. But he did empty himself or set it aside of one thing, and that is his glory. Let me give you the scripture. John 17:5 in Jesus' high priestly prayer. He says, and now, Father, give me glory with you. Give me the glory I had with you before the world was made. Jesus did not pray, Lord, restore my deity. He's God. Do you understand? John 10:30, the Father and I are one, okay? Now, he prayed for his glory to be restored. So what did Jesus give up? He gave up his rights and advantages of God, to live as God. Jesus didn't turn the stone to bread, did he? He could have, but he didn't do that. No, listen, he is our example. He lived as man. Now, but made himself of no reputation. And how did he do that? Look at this now. Taking the form, there's that word again, taking the form of a bond servant. What did Jesus do? Jesus waived his rights as a son of God, from master of all to servant of all. Kenneth Wiest, in my Greek Bible, he says this. He says, the only person in the world who had the right to assert his rights waived them. Isn't that something what the Lord did for you and he did for me? He went from morphe theos to morphe doulos, or the word there means bondservant or slave. Now listen, Jesus himself willingly took the form of a bondservant. You know what a bondservant has? Nothing. In other words, a bondservant has no rights. He claimed absolutely no rights for himself. Now listen to me. This is very important. Jesus existed fully as God. Amen? The morphe, okay? The morphe theos. He existed fully as God. Now, when he made himself a bond servant, morphe doulos, okay, in the Greek, he fully, not just, okay, I look like a bond servant. No, no. He literally became a slave of God. Loved one, that's hard to understand. But that's exactly what Scripture teaches. He just didn't put on a little outfit that says, okay, I'm a bondservant. He actually became a bondservant to the fullest extent. That's why Jesus said in Mark 10:44, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. Bondservant means the lowest place. You can't get any lower than a bondservant. That's the exact opposite of being the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, isn't it? That's what Jesus did. He clothed himself with our humanity so he could become the bondservant of God. Now listen to me. Jesus was the only absolute, perfect bondservant of God the Father. Jesus had only one will. See, a bondservant is this, where it's no longer my will. My will is now swallowed up in the will of another. Does that make sense? That's what Jesus says. I didn't come to do my will, remember, in the Bible? But, oh, I come to do the will of my Father. So listen, Jesus was not a bondservant to man, never. He wasn't a slave to a man or men. He was a slave to God. Listen to what it says here about our example, Jesus. It says in John 5:19, Jesus said, most assuredly, that word is amen and amen, remember? Amen and amen. It means it's sure, it's certain, it's infallible, it's divine, perfect truth. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. So he made himself willingly a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of man, what does that mean? It means that Jesus looked just like one of us. He was 100% man and 100% God. The only difference, he was without sin. He never sinned. And being found in an appearance as man, Paul is straining at words. He's building up our text, if you will. He says, coming, first of all, in the likeness of man, the God-man, of course, and now being found in appearance as a man. What does that mean? It means if you were walking down the streets of Jerusalem or Nazareth and Jesus was with his disciples and you looked at that group and you looked at Jesus, to you, he would be just like any other person, any other man. Does that make sense? You wouldn't go, there's a halo over his head or, you know, hey, there's something. No, he looked just like everybody else because he was man, but he was the God-man. Remember morphe, that's his, who he was, God. That nature can never be changed, altered. He is God forever, eternally, and so forth. But the word appearance there is a different Greek word, shagma, or however you say it in the Greek, I don't know. I'm not a Greek scholar. But that word means this. It means an outward form. In other words, he looked human. An outward form that changes continually. So when Jesus was born, I mean, was he born the God-man? Yes, but was he born a man, a full-grown man? No, he was a baby. Did he stay a baby? No, why? Because of that word appearance. It means he continually changed. He was a little baby, then he was a little boy. You see what I'm talking about. And he grew up just like all of us did. And it says, and he, meaning the God-man, Jesus our Lord, look what he did, humbled himself. You know, isn't that the true mark of a mind of Christ, a Christian, is humility? He humbled himself. You know what I love about the Lord? I can't say it about me, and I wish I could, but I can't. Jesus never said enough. He never said enough of this humiliation. I can't take it anymore. He never did that. For 33, maybe 33 and a half years, from the time he was born, you know, Herod wanted to kill him, remember? I mean, he was despised. He was rejected. He came to his own received him not. You know, I mean, think about what he went through. He was called illegitimate. He was called Beelzebub. He was called, he said he had a demon. Even the religious rulers who should have known the word of God, who didn't know the word of God, wanted to kill him and murder him. He kept humbling himself all the way through. He only did what the Father told him to do. Loved one, listen, I'm going to tell you. You know, it's pretty rough. I mean, it's one thing to have the world turn against you, but have your own family turn against you. Remember his brothers and sisters? They thought he was off the rocker. Remember? Thought he was mad. They challenged him all the time. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. And they grew up with him. Oh, listen, I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, at the end of your life, before you went to the cross, you were all alone. You were deserted even by your own disciples. And yet, if you look at those 33 and a half years, he lived in perfect, unbroken obedience to God. That is our Lord. And the Bible commands us to have this attitude, this mind, which is in him, that we're to have it with us. And you know what? Did you ever hear Jesus complain? I didn't. But I'll tell you what, old Bill, he's a complainer. You know what I mean? I know you're not. Now, and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is very important. Jesus died. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? He died for you and he died for me. But listen very carefully. It says, look at it again, he became obedient. But no, he didn't become obedient to death. Death has no hold upon the Son of God. Amen? Jesus is the author of life. No. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. No, listen, look at those words again. Became obedient, here it comes, to the point of death. What does that mean? It means that Jesus did not obey death. He obeyed the Father unto death. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, loved one. And listen to the scripture that proves it. Jesus said in John 10:17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18, listen, I love this. Jesus said, no one takes it from me. No one takes my life from me. He says, no one takes it from me. I lay it down myself of his own volition. I'm going to do this. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I receive from my Father. Listen, Jesus came into this world from heaven to this earth, born in a stinking feed trough, in a manger, loved one, and he came to die for you and to take my place and to take your place. That's incredible love, isn't it? The Bible says in Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his own love, or proves his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that word means we were still living in sin. We were still enjoying our sin. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. It says he became obedient to the point of death. And then that word, even the death of the cross, which was the most despised form of death at that time. The death on the cross, loved one, when you look at all that Jesus went through, you know, that should have been us, amen? I mean, the punishment, the spitting. Jesus didn't have any sin. Jesus wasn't a criminal. The cross, loved one, was for the lowest of the low. The Roman citizens, you couldn't crucify a Roman citizen. So this cross here, the most despised type of death at that time, the most excruciating pain. Oh, listen, it was reserved again, like I said, for the lowest criminals. And Jesus, he never sinned, and yet he died of his own volition. He willingly did so. You know why? The Bible says that he despised not the shame of the cross in Hebrews 12:1-2 and so forth. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that. The joy, as you already know what the joy is because I've taught it over and over. You are the joy that was set before the Lord. Amen? The world, to pay for the sin debt of the world, loved one. He took our place, and the thing is, that's the place that we deserve. So when I look at all of that, and I think about all of that, I don't know how a Christian could be filled with pride, or a Christian that they feel they're better than anyone else. Do you understand? Oh, listen, loved one, I look at that and I go, I don't want to call Jesus Lord if I'm not going to obey that. That's a horrible, you know, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I've asked you to do? I want to follow that example. There's nothing wrong with humbling yourself. I would rather humble myself than be proud, wouldn't you? Pride is a characteristic of the devil. Pride has no place at all in the life of a believer. Man, listen, we're all saved the same way. Now, those were those seven steps. Now we have seven steps upward with the exaltation of the Lord. Look at it in verse 9. Therefore, because of Jesus, his humility, going to the cross, all that we just discussed, therefore God has highly exalted him, taken him to the highest place, loved one, highly exalted him, and given him a name? The name, which is above every name. In other words, his name is more important and will always be more important than any name that can ever be named in the entire universe. And we have that name, amen, the name of Jesus. So when Jesus was not only lifted up on the cross, but he was also now lifted up above everything else. He is the Lord. He's the head of the church. So he was exalted beyond. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, what do we have in heaven? Well, you have angels, you have seraphim, you have cherubim, you have the saints of God, and who knows what else is in heaven? I don't know. Do you understand? But up there, everyone will bow their knee. And those on the earth, meaning every person, sooner or later, whether they like it or not, they're going to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And it says, and those under the earth, that's Hades, the place of the wicked dead. No one is in hell right yet. You know that. That's right. They're in Hades. They're in the place of waiting for the great white throne judgment, loved one. Now, it says, and so under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So every knee is going to bow. And the question is not, will you confess Jesus as Lord? But when will you confess Jesus as Lord? Boy, that's very important. To confess, the word confess means to say the same thing or be in agreement with. To confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is to agree that Jesus is God. Do you understand? And that's exactly who he is. So those who bow now praise the Lord. They're saved. Amen? But everyone will bow. They'll either bow now or they will bow at the great white throne judgment. And that is for unbelievers. What a horrible place to be. Loved one, there is no other name. The word Jesus means Savior. There is no other Savior. There is no other way to be saved. There's no other name. Amen? Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven. Think of that. No other name. Think of the millions and millions of names throughout the generations. There's no other name. There's over 7 billion people on our planet. I'm assuming they all have names. None of them will work. Do you understand? There's hundreds of religions, but they're all false religions. Does that make sense? They're all human-made. They're not made from heaven. There's only one gospel and one Savior and only one way to be saved, and only by one name. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men. That means it's universal, given among men, all mankind, by which, and here we come, we must be saved. Jesus was given his name at birth. Remember Matthew 1:21, when Joseph obeyed the angel, said, you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. We have the only name that gives us access to the throne room of God. Amen? In the name of Jesus, that's how we pray. We go to God the Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? It's the greatest name. There's no other name. Now listen to me. It says the only name by which man must be saved. In the Greek, that word must, loved one, it is absolutely specific and it's absolutely definite. In other words, must means it is a divine necessity. There's not another option. There's not a plan B of God. There's no other way to be saved. And that verse is over 2,000 years old, Acts 4:12 that I just quoted. It is either true or it is a untrue or lie or false. It cannot be both. Amen? Listen, we confessed to the Lord. There on the beach when all those years ago when I came to Christ, I asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart and I was born again. I was changed. That's what this word means. Loved one, listen, Jesus saves. No, Jesus alone saves. He is alone the only Savior of the world. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord. There is no other. There is no God besides me. Isaiah 45:21, there is no other God besides me, a just God and Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Listen, opinions mean nothing. Well, I don't really believe in God. I don't care. Oh, I mean, yes, I do, but you know what I'm saying. See, that opinion doesn't mean anything. You see, the Bible is true. We have the mind of Christ. We know there's only one way that a person can be born again, their sins forgiven, and that is to ask Christ Jesus to be the Lord of their life. There is salvation in no other name. So if you're listening live right now, maybe you're sitting in your car, maybe you're listening to this broadcast right now on the radio, maybe you're home, maybe you're at work, maybe you're on your lunch break, whatever it might be, I'm telling you, there's no other way to be saved but Jesus Christ. And you know what you have to do, those that are here? If you don't know the Lord, listen to me. I don't know anyone's heart. And I know that, you know, but all I know is Jesus is Lord. He wants to save every person. You know, what did Jesus do? If you'll do what Jesus did, he'll save you. And you know what that is? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of God. He will lift you up. Eternity, once you're there, is irreversible. You can't get out. It's over. The only time that a person can accept Jesus Christ as Lord is today, right now. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I need to make sure. Listen, if you're here this morning, I love you. You don't need to get out of your chair. You don't need to do anything. All you have to do is this. If you don't know Christ Jesus as your Lord, if you've never asked him to come and live in your heart, you know what you can do? You can come to him right now. And I'll pray with you right there where you're sitting. All you have to do is just say, Bill, lift your hand up high and say, I want you to pray for me because I do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and I've never asked him to be the Lord of my life. All you have to do is lift it up and put it right back down. Well, Father, I see no hands, but I don't know that maybe out there and those that are listening live, so I encourage you right now to just bow your head and just ask Jesus Christ, say, Lord, come into my heart. Be my Savior. I confess you with my mouth right now. Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. Save me. Come into my heart and save me. If you pray that, he will. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word. Lord, may we all be obedient to let this attitude which was in Christ Jesus be in us. May we truly live it and practice it every day of our lives. Lord, I pray over your sheep that you protect them, that you keep them. And Lord God, that whatever needs they may have, some of them may be financial or it might be a job, it might be a marriage issue, whatever it is, Lord, you know every heart and the condition of every heart. Would you embrace them right now and let them know that they're being embraced by you? We love you. We give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen.
Well, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails this week. Pastor Bill will continue his series in Philippians on Monday, and we hope to see you once again. We want to thank you for your continued support of Love Never Fails with your emails and notes of encouragement that let us know that this program is making a difference in your understanding of God's Word. They truly mean so much. Be blessed this weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday. So long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.